Chris here, the host of the hour, first to follow the fox named Neve, with books laid before the bear named Em, to read and retire around the long fire.
Episode 51. I fucked it up. Yeah. Last week.
We missed it last time.
Literally, we just stopped recording and you go, oh shit, it was episode 50.
Episode 50.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. That's my thing. I say episode 50. No one's ever said it like that before. Do not steal.
Yeah.
We don't have listeners younger than that meme, but yeah.
It's not just even like how
that one thing that I stole from Giant Bomb a decade ago. But I will say that that thing is like three times older than your kid, so
yeah. It's just like how I invented bye, thanks for stopping by.
That's true. That one's weird because it's like a reference to like an old fucking YouTube meme. So it's not even a podcast poll. Mine is literally an obscure, even among Giant Bomb video clips. It's not like, it's not like one of the classics for a lot of people. It's just stuck in my head.
Yeah. I impulsively said to me at work once and was just like, don't worry about it.
I will say that like to people in my life as if it's a normal thing to say. But not people who, not like work people.
Episode 51.
Yep. I'm on like a fucking sleep timer where I'm going to pass out if we don't do this podcast. So we might as well get into it.
Yeah, we can do this podcast.
If it was anyone else, I would have said, let's not record tonight. But you don't have availability the rest of the week, and you take it personally. I mean, I knew this. It's not a negative on your part. I know the score.
I saw you tweet it, and I was just going to assume it was because you like talking to me so much.
I mean, yeah, that's true. One, I can't reschedule, right? Because you're not available the other two nights. I like doing this podcast. Yeah, no, I was like, I've got things to talk about. I don't have anywhere else to put them. I don't remember what they are right now because I'm tired. I was falling asleep watching YouTube right before you messaged. So this is where we're at.
There's some good little bits with all the Rome stuff coming up, but most boring so far. You know, I still will take this over harrying.
I would say that this reading this week facilitates between kind of mid and some of the most insane shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Anyway, I might as well get into it. We read 16 through 23. 16, Lancelot and Tristram join the round table. Emissaries from Rome come and demand tribute, but Arthur claims that the emperorship is his by right, that all of the kings of England, other than Uther Pendragon, have been emperor of Rome, and if the emperor is not careful, he's going to come and take back what he deserves. And he begins raising an army, and Lucius, the Roman emperor, begins raising an army. And let me hit the next page. And then Arthur's on, this is the part where I'm like, immediately, like, I didn't know any about this about Arthur. Arthur's fucking like liberating parts of France. He's like, oh, these are mine now. I'm like, what? Since when? When does King Arthur own France, parts of France? Anyway, Lucius got giants in his army. Chapter 17, Arthur names, Sir Constantine, future Sir Cador of Cornwall as his heir, leaves him and Baldwin of Britain in charge of the kingdom as he rides forth. And I'm like, oh, is he like, what is he dying? And then we're going to roll it back. Is that how the whole thing works? I don't know. There's a big dream of a dragon and a bear. He gets dream interpretation because it's a saga. At heart, everything's a saga.
Yeah.
At Normandy, they find people beset by a cannibal giant. This chapter is insane. Arthur fights him and barely beats him and disperses treasure in the name of God to everyone who helped him out. And this giant is described in what I can only label as like late 80s, early 90s pornographic OVA levels of violence.
Yeah. He is said to have done things to a woman that I don't know if I want to say on this podcast.
Yeah, but in doing said things, she is torn half and half. And then he's got like maidens on skewers. He's got like babies on a kebab that he's like going to eat like little like birds.
Yeah.
And then when Arthur fights him, he like fucking cuts off, it's like Arthur sliced off his genitals and covered in the gore of the giant. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah. This is also wild because we had had our talk about, like, when they say dwarf in this, like, is this a mythological dwarf?
Yes.
Or do they just mean a short person? And when they said giant too, I was like, are they just talking about really tall people at first? And then I got to this and I was like, no, this is mythological monster.
Yeah. Someone mentioned in the Discord that the dwarves in Arthurian legend tend to be just like almost like a trickster character or someone who's going to attach himself to someone's service and then lead them into further misadventure / adventure, depending on how you look at it. It's all adventure if you're noble enough, I guess.
My guess is probably coming from the same, like, you know, various roots as like the Irish sprites and leprechauns and things, the elves in Icelandic folklore, just sort of like natural trickster spirits.
Yeah. Chapter 18, Arthur's army confronts the Roman forces. Sir Gawain is injured, but captures many prisoners, including a Roman senator. And I was like, damn, we're getting into it. Little did I know. 19, the battle rages. Classic. Sir Kay is run through, but he survives because it doesn't puncture anything important. In his rage that his, you know, foster brother is injured, he cuts down Emperor Lucius and then sends the foreign the Roman dignitaries back to Rome with the body of Emperor Lucius. Is like, that's my tribute. Fuck you. Fucking great. It's so cool.
This moment goes so hard.
And I was like, oh, well, I guess we're done then. No. Arthur's forces are running out of food, so he sends his best knights out scouting. Gawain runs afoul of Sir Priamus, descendant of Alexander, and converts him to Christianity, and they end up working together against Priamus. Priamus's men before Priamus becomes a knight of the Round Table. We can loop back around on this. It isn't actually, I was like, oh, Gawain's got a little boyfriend, but he's about to get totally trumped out in terms of like gay guys in the fucking Arthuriana, as we get later into the reading here. So I don't know how much time I want to spend on this motherfucker. 21, through good manners and doing no war crimes, Arthur begins to take cities all the way down to Italy. Finally, Rome caves and the Pope himself comes and names him Emperor of Rome. He divides up the European lands among Lancelot, Bors, and Priamus, and then sails back for home. The Emperor of fucking the Roman Empire. I did not know this about King Arthur, that he was also Emperor of Rome.
Yeah.
I don't know how somehow this is just like lost because it's I was reading, it's like, no, there's a lot of this. He had a huge European empire that was clearly not real because no one could have held them any lands and no one know about him. But I didn't know about this. So I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Remember when we were like reading the sagas and it's like, oh, this man went down to Constantinople and became like a knight in the garden. How mythical and strange that seems. No, Arthur's Emperor of Rome.
It was also funny because Autumn called me on my commute and I was like, did you know that Arthur became the Emperor of Rome? And they were like, no, I did not know about this. And so then I was explaining and I skipped the very beginning of it and I got to the part of like kills the emperor, sends him back as payment, being like, here's, you know, my 10 years back payment for tribute.
Yes.
If the remaining senators think it's not enough, I can come and I can add to my payment, just like threatening to like kill more people. And then I was like, oh yeah, because all of this started because the emperor was like, hey, you owe us money, basically.
Yeah.
And just realized kings are always, so many of the like wars that we talk about, just grand wars, start with somebody being like, oh, technically you owe me money.
Yes.
All comes down to taxes.
Chapter 22, this is the largest chapter of our reading, and I figure we'll loop back around on it, so I'm just going to do it in short. Lancelot turns down four queens who throw themselves at him, kisses a man, fights Sir Tarquin, who's imprisoned 64 Round Table knights, waiting for Lancelot to come and fight him to the death, and they have a sexy murder fight, and then he kills him and rides off for their adventures. Truly an unhinged chapter of adventures for Lancelot, but we will definitely circle back around. In chapter 23, Lancelot turns down another maiden, liberates Tintagel from giants. That is the castle where Arthur's mother was, you know, the husband that she left for Uther Pendragon. That's his castle. Saves Sir Kay from being attacked by a bunch of guys, then dresses up as Sir Kay and marches around waiting for people to attack him because no one would dare attack Sir Lancelot du Lake, but they definitely attack Sir Kay the Seneschal because Sir Kay kind of sucks. He's mid. And they do, and then he beats their ass, including Uwain and Gawain, who get their asses kicked, and then Gawain realizes that it's Lancelot, and he's like, oh, what a scamp. I love it when he just beats us up and shows us how cool he is. Yeah. Because that's the power of Lancelot. The end. That's the end of the reading for this week.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get a little bit more Lancelot next time.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna say we're probably gonna get a little more Lancelot for the entirety of reading this book.
Yeah.
He might be one of the three major figures of the book.
This is the one where I noticed that, like, the chapter after this, there's something about it, like, ending some talk about Lancelot. But, I mean, I'm sure he's gonna keep coming back.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the last is, like, this section of, like, we're really focusing on some adventures of Lancelot.
So. Yeah. Because I'm going to be honest, we've kind of run out of all the things I know about, like, the Arthur myth until we get to the very end with, like, Lancelot and Guinevere and stuff, which is not, like, super come up.
Yeah.
A little bit. There's definitely, it's like, Lancelot has the love of the queen, and the queen sends him on quests or whatever. But then, chapter 23 suggests the maiden's like, oh, you must go around breaking all sorts of hearts, because you have the heart of the queen. And he's like, yes, I definitely have the heart of the queen. No woman would ever be happy being my wife when the queen sends me on so many adventures. So I'm like, you and the queen made a pact that is, you get to say that she's ensorcelled you to her love, and you get to ride around saying no ma'am to every woman who throws herself at you. And they can't say shit, because it's the fucking queen. This is...
Guinevere is his beard.
Yeah, the best beard in all the lands.
Yeah. Lancelot extremely not beating the allegations in these chapters, including the part where they try to do a no homo, where a man kisses him and then he, like, fights the man. But then he gets really gay with how he's taking care of the man because he feels bad that he hurt him.
Yeah, so in this chapter, four queens, one of them is Morgan Le Fay, all try to, like seduce Lancelot. He turns them all down. He's like, no. And then he goes and he's like, well, I'm glad I escaped that. And he, like, falls asleep in a pavilion that he just finds. And this is a pavilion where this other knight was supposed to come and meet a woman. And so he just climbs into bed and kisses the person in the bed, thinking it's his girlfriend. It's not. It's Lancelot. And then he wakes up and they're like, oh, a man? And they start stabbing each other. But then when he realizes that, like, it was all a misunderstanding, he, like, soothes this man's wounds. And then when the woman shows up late, like, oh, sorry, I, like, had to go get some milk or whatever. She's like, oh, I can't believe you harmed him. It's like, don't worry. He soothed my wounds. And I'm like, yeah, I bet he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he goes and has another murder fight with Sir Tarquin, who's like, oh, Lancelot killed my father. I don't remember what the fuck it was. And it's like, I've been entrapping knights forever, just hoping eventually it would be a honeypot to pull in Sir Lancelot. Now we'll fight to the death. And he's like, you bet we will. And then fucking beats him. And it's like, he's like, oh, glorious death in battle at the hands of the best knight who's ever lived. Gay, 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 gay.
Yeah. I was living.
Yeah. Between this and the fucking murder giant, a lot of intense things happen around. Also, Arthur becoming Emperor of Rome. A lot of intense things happening around, like, a true battle rages chapter where the Roman armies and the Arthurian armies just kind of tilt each other for 10, 15 pages.
Yeah. I was very bored when the battle rages. So yes. I was glad when it was over.
Yes.
And at least that we had the great bit about, you know, send back my tribute, yes, all these dead bodies.
Yes, here's my tribute. Pray I don't deliver any more tribute.
Yeah. It's also, like, not only is it the Emperor of Rome, but it's, like, the Sultan of Syria and the King of India or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget all the different...
The Roman Empire is, like, a full-on, like, multinational 300-style Uber army, right?
Uh-huh.
It's truly ludicrous.
And they're just sending all their guys.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, there are moments here, too, where this just felt like, in some ways, the most fan fiction-y of the the Arthur stuff that we've read so far. Of just like, oh, my cool guy went and became Emperor of Rome. he fought the really gross, like, giant. All that kind of stuff.
If you told me that later Arthur's going to take a boat to the moon, it's about as believable to me. Like, that's the level that this hit me with. I'm like, anything could happen. This is beyond what I was imagining in my, like, space here as I think about the story.
And as we're rapidly running out of shit I know about King Arthur. And we're not even, like, we're like, what, maybe a third of the way into this book?
90 chapters, so not yet.
Yeah. How many pages is this? Yeah, it's like over 600 pages. We're like 150 or so. Yeah, 150. Yep. Yeah. The most mixed bag. During the whole battle raging with the Romans, I did have that moment of being like, ah, I'm feeling it drag. And then I did just think about like, and then he went to this area of Norway and harried, and then he went to this area, and I was like, okay, we're still doing better.
We're still doing better. Eventually, everyone's going to Grail Quest, and you know that's going to be real stupid. This is the thing is like, downtime, you know, it can't all be winners. I understand. As long as it's not more than a chapter or two, I don't really mind. That's just the nature of these kind of stories to me. And this one truly did immediately pop off again. I do like Lancelot is just the perfect guy, unavailable to anyone. Especially when he's right up against Gawain, who's just a fuckboy, right? Like, who cares about that man?
Yeah. The like, contrast between those, I feel like, could be fun as this goes forward, too. Yeah. There's moments when I was reading it at the very beginning where I was like, is Lancelot, is he gay or is he just ace? And then as it went on, I was like, this keeps getting gayer. but I don't believe that that man is actually interested in Guinevere. I just don't believe it.
No, I don't think so either. It's going to be really bad when that's like the whole thing, the end of the story revolves around, but you know, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
No, Merlin. Merlin is still not here behind that rock. I guess he's still around. I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah. I assume that Merlin is going to come back, you know.
It'd be really fucking weird if Merlin just fell out of the story like this early in.
Yeah. I mean, it might not be for a while, but like, I was going to say Gandalf style, but it would be Gandalf comes back Merlin style. But like, I assume there's going to be some part where he returns and he's all old and, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I, you know, no clue on that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just really weird to just immediately have maybe the most famous character of Arthurian legend just kind of go into a cave and never come out.
Yeah. I truly don't know what to expect from a lot of what's to come. You know? Yeah.
No, that's true.
Even like, okay, I know there's going to be Grail Quest stuff, but like, what the fuck happens on the Grail Quest? I don't fucking know anymore. You know?
I mean, we do have some seeds of the, because I don't actually know what the Grail Quest entails necessarily in these legends, but when Arthur's like going to set sail to go back to England, he does say, I will be back so we can send our boats across the sea to spread Christianity to all of the other lands. Like, he's just like laying the groundwork for the Crusades, apparently, also.
Yeah. But I don't have too much else about this. It was wild how gory it got.
Yes.
Like there's been parts I did a like joke tweet of, you know, the whole part in Monty Python's Holy Grail, with the like, that one, I think it's like the Black Knight or whatever, where he's like losing all of his limbs and stuff.
Yes.
Being like, oh, this is just what the book is.
Yes.
Yeah. This is like just what the actual legends are. Like, this isn't even that much of an exaggeration.
No, it's really surprising.
Yeah. But then I got to this stuff and I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, this is like an extreme horror movie happening here.
Yeah.
Started watching Uritsoki Doji.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. Kind of a short one in terms of like stuff to talk about. Lancelot real standout here. Next week we are reading chapters 24 through 30. So please look forward to that. Then we will be one third of the way through the chapters.
Okay. We're coming up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see if we take any off weeks. Just thinking ahead, I know that there's a part where we will miss probably like two episodes. But
yeah.
So I'm going to go to Iceland.
Yep. That's so rude of you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get a ringer in. We'll do it without you. I'll find someone else.
Just read the last section of this book.
Yeah. It's like, it, if it's in... Yeah, it is kind of near the end, isn't it? Damn. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, unless we, like, take a bunch of off weeks, but...
Yeah, yeah, no. The way it's scheduled now, it will be literally the last chapter will be, like, there will be a two-week break between that and, like, the chapter before, or the week before that, yeah. So...
I'm gonna go up to, like, the area where, Lex Styla Saga is set for, like, mm-hmm. 2 days, so... You know. Go check that out.
Okay. Be like, it's full of rocks.
Yeah. We're gonna, like, spend 2 days at, like, 3 different areas around the countryside, and then 4 days in the city, Reykjavik. But, I'm looking forward to it, but, a number of podcasts are just gonna be, like, just miss episodes. I'm not even gonna try, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, there's no, I don't work with a backlog. There's no way. You're not getting me to do that. You might convince Connor to do something stupid like that, but not me.
Bhutan will probably miss at least 1 week. We might do, like, a one episode backlog, but I think truly Ghost Divers is the only one that won't be affected at all.
Yeah.
And some of that is we actually have the question bucket for Nana coming up before that, so we'll have, like, a week to, like, have a little you know, we'll have, like, an off planned anyway, so we might be able to just shift stuff around. Gonna watch Psycho Pass the movie soonish, next, like, couple months.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. I feel like I don't have too much. I mean, I have been reading the second volume of Neighborhood Story, because that just came out, so. I also started reading another manga, but I'm going to save it for Coffee and Comic Books. I guess this will be out before we record that. I just want to surprise Autumn on the podcast with, I started reading Cross Game, which I know they really like, so.
Oh, okay.
But I'm only, like, four chapters into it, so.
Fine.
What am I supposed to read?
No, you just don't have anything for me.
Yeah, I haven't, like, really watched a movie. I played a little bit more Final Fantasy VII, but that's not going to be interesting.
I'm desperately trying to get through a podcast where we don't talk about Final Fantasy. Actually, only spoilers for you for this week's VoIP Live. Jackson fucking torpedoes another one for no fucking reason. I was like, we don't have to live like this anymore.
Yeah.
It's already out by the time you listen to this. We did not complete the run. I'm a little annoyed about it.
I feel like on this podcast, I will finish 7 and then probably talk about it, but I don't know if there's, I have anything to say in between. Especially because I still just remember all this shit, both because I've seen some of it before and also the culture, you know?
Yeah.
It's just in the culture now.
Yep.
So, and I did not play too much of it, but I briefly started up Raido Kusunoa, the first game. So I might try and play that soon.
Okay.
But yeah.
You need to watch some movies. Watch some movies.
Yeah, it's way harder when I have a kid just around.
Your kid needs to grow up faster.
I know.
When your kid is aloof and doesn't want to hang out with you and you don't need to, like, mind them all the time, your life will be much easier.
That I can put the, like, movies on that I want to watch.
Yes.
You know? And not just like, well, okay, I guess still, they're still not that into movies, but, like, there's just a few movies where we'll put it on and they'll actually, like, watch it. Mm-hmm. But it's like kid-ass movies, you know? It's like the Mario movie.
Mm-hmm.
And not the one that I want to watch. The new one.
Oh, you need to really get them into Bob Hoskins and Chocolate. That movie's pretty good. I've always been... I watched that as a kid. I was there, obviously, opening weekend to see that shit. Loved Mario. Even though it was weird, I was like, that was neat. And I've seen it dozens of times. I think that movie's still pretty good. It's, like, weird, and it doesn't hold together super well, but it's inventive. It's fine. Those 90s messy sci-fi movies are all pretty good.
Yeah. truly some of them I just need to, like, do, you know, quickly look at and be like, is this, do I need to wait a couple years, you know?
Yeah.
When's the age range? But yeah, also, it's truly weird because it's like, there's like a lot of music stuff and I will just play music around my kid where like they might swear or whatever.
Yeah.
And I know some people will be like shocked at that, but also like I've definitely put on albums that are like kids' music and then been like way more like, do I want to be playing a song for my child about how everybody has a mother and a father?
Yeah.
There's just a lot of weird like stuff yes. baked into that to kids' music that's actually like more weird to me
yeah.
than just letting my kid hear fuck, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I would think that the main thing would be like content that would scare them, right? Like
yeah.
violence or monster, you know, whatever. More than like, oh, they're someone's going to say a swear or people are going to kiss, right? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
I guess it kind of depends on the disposition of your child, but like, what are they? They're four, right?
Yeah.
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 So my memory for this only goes back to like, and it's fuzzy, right? But I would say I know that as of like six, I was watching like horror movies on TV because my mom was a overly permissive mother and I was not someone who had nightmares. And I love that shit. I ate it up. That was so cool. Still do. But I don't think that's a typical childhood experience, but I never got nightmares from movies.
Yeah. And so, yeah, some of it is still just trying to feel out, like, where's the level where stuff might be scary. We haven't pushed it too much, but,
yeah.
You know, we'll talk sometime. But the other thing that's tricky with, like, older movies is sometimes it's just, like, I feel like this is a good thing for us to have a conversation about how that was, like, racist. But also, I just wanted to put on a movie, and I don't want to have this talk. Like, I don't want to do the work of now talking about how that movie had stuff that was not okay in it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I didn't have good parents, so I never had that sort of thing happen to me.
I feel like that's the biggest one is just, like, oh, that was, like, really weirdly sexist or, you know, intensely sexist or, like, intensely racist or something. We're like,
yeah.
Okay, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that shit can come up in, like, a Disney movie, too. So it's truly, you know, like, the thing is, you go and you check Barrett guides for movies, and it's never actually the stuff that I care about, you know?
No, it's all psychotic, right? Like,
yeah. There was a part, so over the like my kid's spring break where they went to, my wife Emily took our kid to Michigan with, like her mom, and she worked from there and her mom like watched her kid and everything. And there was a part where, her mom had to go to the church just to, like get something from the office or whatever, but then like, was going to take our kid, and our kid was apparently, like, very scared and nervous about going to church because they've just never been in a church before. I was like, this is funny to me. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I'm also, like, extra just... My work is, like, doing this weird thing where we're halting all of the work that we're doing, and we're, like, doing this whole, like, we're going to focus on learning how to do some different input that we send to downstream people differently.
Okay.
And
I'm trying to be as polite as possible in interrupting you to talk about anything other than fucking day jobs.
It's, yeah.
You know I don't. I hate it.
Other than, like, it's just been fucking annoying because they suddenly did the shift. And so, like, I've had plans. And now, like, I had to stay an hour extra today. I'm just fucking annoyed about that. So.
I'm just going to talk about my shit then. Because at least it's related to the work we're doing and not our day jobs. I've been having this strange existential... Not an existential crisis. That's overselling it. I've been having angst about... my movie podcast, Reptoy Screenings, general decline in popularity for no discernible reason. And I talk about it here because I think this podcast is doing really well, especially with this change. I think we've gained a lot of listeners. I don't know. I don't look at the numbers and don't ask me to. I'm not going to. But I mean, I just feel like the response has been more positive, like louder. It's never been negative. It's just been louder every time. I think we're slowly building a listenership. And at the same time, I'm like pushing for movie emails like two, three times a day. And we've got like, so far we've got nothing for this Saturday's episode. We're watching like one of the fucking classics of cinema, like top 10 most influential movies of all time. Easy. And we got fucking nothing. And I don't even need them to be about the movie. I just want movie emails. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? I don't really know. Is it because we're too highfalutin? I don't think that's true. Reptile Screen's just in like a real lull period and it's really bunging me out. I'm just putting it here because I talk about my insecurities here more than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And I know that you're not immune to this thing of being like, oh, this one's taking off and it makes me feel a little worse about some of my other podcasts that have not taken off, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my big one, I fully understand why. We went into the Nana season being like, hey, you should probably read this whole thing before you listen to this, because we're going to do major spoilers from the beginning. There's just stuff where we're rereading it, where we just want to be able to say, like, this big thing happens later on, even though it's, like, a massive spoiler. So I understand why it seems like there's way less reactions and everything. And I know those episodes are long because we're doing deep dives, but also I'm like, I feel like we're doing good work.
I am not convinced that the deep dive as a podcast format has actual legs as critical work. Not that it's not useful for you and you like doing it, like whatever you want to do it. You already know I have this opinion about things. So I'm not springing anything on you. And I'm not really accusing you, but I feel this way about like, A More Civilized Age. I feel this way about Homestuck Made This World. I'm like, even like Totally Reprised when they were doing Totally Spies stuff. I'm like, there's a certain extent where I think you've just kind of overtalked the thing. And then what does anyone listening have to say about anything? Because you just did it all. You just like laid it all out there. And who can hold their like one thing they want to add an hour in when there's 4 hours of podcast? And I think the nature of the forum almost suppresses discussion. And I know that I'm like a person who's like an hour and you're out. That's the best form of a podcast is an hour. Fucking close up shop after an hour. And I know a lot of people go the other way and value the other way. And like, look, I get it. I mostly do 2-person podcasts and I listen to the Bombcast for years and I love a 3-hour podcast. Don't get me wrong. But I do think it's hard. I think it's hard to respond to something so monolithic, right?
Yeah.
And that's even before you get to the part where Nana is kind of an older book. It has a resurgence, but not among like our audiences. Like, you know, the people who are into it, but like it's fucking TikTok teens. They're not listening to your podcast. You have to have already read it, which I have. I mean, I listen to every episode of Ghost Divers, but I don't have a whole lot to say about it because like it takes me 2 days to listen to an episode. And then I like every once in a while I'll mention something, but I react more to Puton, who's 30 minutes long. Cause it's really easy to react to a 30 minute thing.
Yeah. And also, we just say shit on Bhutan.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I already did a podcast with you about my Nana takes. They're not like, I mean, like I have them, but they're not like super advanced. You know what I feel about everything. I don't need to be like, oh, I still like, what's his face? Nasu? That's his name, right? The bald guy. What's his fucking name?
Yasu.
Yeah. I still like Yasu more than he deserves because he's kind of a coward and a loser, but man, he's the guy I'd be like crushing on secretly in that scenario.
Yeah. He is probably the best guy.
It's such a low bar. Bar is truly in the dirt. Here's the thing is like Takumi, villain of all time. Fuck that guy in like forever. But I think Ren sucks like nearly as much. I hate Ren. I've never liked Ren. I don't understand anyone's affection for that's just a type of guy I think is a scumbag. And you're like, but you really like Georgie. And I'm like, that's different. That's, you must understand.
No, there is a difference there. Truly the ones who are the, like, when I see the Nobu defenders, I'm just like, you deserve a Nobu.
Yeah. I cannot be a Nobu defender. Nobu's like not even on the table. I'm like, no, that's fucking, no, thank you. Absolutely not.
Yeah. I mean, Nana's also just been a thing of, like, it's, like, even if we were trying to do it more like we do some of the other anime, it's still fucking long. They did a 50-episode anime, and it only did, like, the first half of it, you know?
Yeah.
We just, like, the season is long, but also if I compare like what it took the anime to cover of the manga. I'm like, oh, okay, we're like doing it at a normal pace that we would do in anime. Mm-hmm. The other thing is it's a manga that's made to just come out like every month or whatever. I don't remember the exact release schedule for it, but yeah. I know it wasn't a weekly. Definitely not. Way too many fucking pages. I don't remember if it was like monthly or quarterly, but it might be quarterly because there's a lot of fucking pages per chapter. But yeah, like even with that, it's also, it's just coming out in like a way where like Ghost Divers, we can structure the number of episodes when we do an anime around, especially often we're watching like stuff that was created as an anime. And then you just have like the core structure, like the, you know, cores is like a way that anime is produced that often like pushes towards like you have a mid core like sort of climax, you have like the end of core climax, you have like, you know, and so all of that stuff means that like, oh, it's really easy to do like 6 or 7 episodes and feel like you have like an arc of show often, in a way that you just can't with a manga too. So yeah, it has been a thing of like, I think we're doing good work and I'm really enjoying it. And also there is part of me just being like, man, I could not do a fucking manga podcast like this beyond like us doing this project and then just going back to anime. Cause it's, yeah, it's like harder to do, it feels like, than anime. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe I wouldn't feel that way if it was like some really light manga that we are reading.
Something you were a little more normal about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is to say, no one can send an email in time for our episode when you're listening to this, but yeah. Maybe you should check out Reptar Screenings. I think it's really good. I understand it's like a little weird. It's like a collision of things in that not everyone watches a movie for, like, you know, Jackson doesn't always watch a movie. Destiny's not online in a way that we're like, she's interacting with the Disney. It's kind of like the Connor problem. Destiny's not really online. And I'm like, is that hurting the podcast that she's not online? I'm not going to ask her to like engage with the audience because she's too busy and it wouldn't be a good fit anyway. But I like having her there. She, you know, the podcast is hers too. She brings a normie energy, but like a really old, like grew up watching a bunch of TCM kind of film nerdery that like I don't have, right? Like I think it's valuable. And it's probably not just that. It's probably just movie podcasts are hard. We don't talk about the shit that gets people like excited. Would we have more listeners if we just did like new things and people were in the discussion? I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. You just go in circles, right? You never know.
Yeah. I mean, Stairwells also doesn't get many reactions, and I wish it got more.
Yeah.
Because also, we talk about all kinds of shit on that, you know?
Yes.
If people like the part of this where we are done talking about the saga or whatever the classic is, and then we talk about shit, we have an entire dedicated section of Stairwells called the Non-Homophobia Zone, where that's all we do.
Reptar Screenings does not have this aspect to it. If we talk about the movies we watch, we're out. Typically, it's like Destiny's got a thing she's got to go do, so we have about an hour to record, and we get the thing done, and then, like, that's it, you know? She's extremely overworked these days. And so, we're just not that. We talk about movies. I wish we had, like, way. I wish there was just, like, more, like, segment one talk. That's the thing I want to steal from Stairwells, but, like, everyone else is watching movies, and it just isn't the form. I don't know. It just doesn't. The energy just never comes together that way. I don't know what to do about it. It's not even necessarily a problem. I enjoy doing the podcast. I just wish more people reacted to it. I wish we got questions. Because otherwise the episodes are going to be like 30, 40 minutes long and like it's fine, I guess. But it feels like I'm failing as a person who produces podcasts and I like those to remain on upward trajectories over time. I know it's impossible to maintain forever growth, but I don't like to see the backslide happen in real time.
Yeah.
Because it's not like the movies have got worse. Like we're watching great movies. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we don't really... Occasionally, we'll get emails. We're also way worse at sending out requests for emails.
I understand that I am, like, pathological about plugging questions. Yeah. More than anyone I know, I'm always like, let's get some questions in. And for Abnormal Mapping, it usually works. We get tons of questions for Abnormal Mapping. Gundam, people always come through. And I just can't seem to get the juice together for Reptors. That's why we don't even try for this podcast. Like I could, but I'm already tired all the time. And I just like talking to you. We can carry the pod. I don't need to feel like we need a padded question segment for any of this shit. If you really wanted to send us an ALF question, I'll see it. And if it's a question that's pod worthy, I'll put it on the pod. But like, I'm not going to push. Because like for the average pod that we have to take questions for, I'm doing at least one plug a day for the entire week leading up to the pod, usually more than that. And it's just hard to keep. I'm just like, I'm always doing it at my job because that's when people are online. And I'm just like, I'm tired. I'm fucking tired.
Yeah,
I'm just whining about promotion right now. But like Twitter made it harder. And I'm not on anything else. And I just am whining. You know, I'm allowed. I think I'm allowed every once in a while.
Yeah.
I went back to Maine, kind of, you know, actually way more than I thought I would so far. This could be over by next week. Who knows? I talked last week. I was playing Needy Streamer Overload. It used to be called Overdose and they changed it in the English market so they didn't get hit with like a higher rating because of the drug term in the title or whatever. They're putting on Switch. I think that's why. I finished that, got all the endings. It was pretty good. I'll have more thoughts probably in a bit more mapping, but it made me, if you listen to the last VoIP Life, which is a premium podcast that you got to pay $10 for, patreon.com/normalmapping, where I briefly talked about my weird relationship to online and did that podcast kind of inspire me to actually play the game because I'd been like thinking that maybe I should sometime. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And it was a great time to like for 10 or 12 hours, I got to marinate in my thoughts of what it means to be kind of a personality on the internet and how it can do. You can get mentally taxed doing it. Right. But also, I think one of the things about Needy Streamer Overload that I like is the recognition that sometimes you just create your own hell in the world. And I've been mostly on private Twitter for years now, kind of ever since my dad died and I was going through it and like I was starting therapy and I was just a different person. But I would say since around 2018, I've been mostly like pretty locked up on alt. And that's a long time. It's 6 years now, right? And sometimes I go out and tweet a little bit and I reach out, but I'm mostly tucked away. And I was like, well, I don't know what I'm afraid of necessarily. I don't know if I hear Jackson's horror stories and they're bad. It's bad out there. Don't have 30,000, I don't know, 25, I don't know how many followers Jackson has. Don't have that many. It's impossible to do anything. But I don't have that many. I don't trend. I don't like post hot takes that get people retweeting enough to get in someone's For You tab. I mostly just am like talking about whatever shit I'm doing at any given time. And I was like, I could stop being afraid. I could just choose to be brave a little bit. And once it doesn't blow up in my face, then it'll be easier to be brave every time after that and post a little more on Maine. And so I've been making the effort. And you know what? It's been totally fine. Everyone's been pretty chill. I've gotten like one weird message maybe, but I've had some good conversations about random stuff. Some from people in this community that like, you know, I recognize in like, I guess the broader abnormal community, not necessarily this community, but like people I recognize as like sometimes they're in the Discord, but not that often. But, you know, they follow me on Main and reply to a post. It's like, I don't know what I was afraid of. But like, yeah. All it takes is one bad thing where someone is super bad faith. I'm like, this is what I was afraid of. This thing fucking sucks. But so far, I haven't experienced that. Maybe I can just like ignore it. I don't know. But I'm trying really hard to be more out there. Not for anything other than like my own like challenging myself a little bit, I guess, just being like,
yeah,
what is the thing that what is your hesitancy towards just putting yourself out there and talking about a book you're reading or a thing you're watching or something you're excited for? And I'm like, I guess I don't have any, so I'm a main more. I don't know how to feel about it other than like, this is what I'm doing. I'm just explaining the situation. And I feel like everyone's going the other way. They're like, oh, I'm using Twitter, main Twitter less because it's always a nightmare. And I'm like, I just mute people if they're annoying. And like, yeah. So I'm not looking at Maine that much. I am looking at it more. But I am mostly just tweeting a little more. Because I follow like 500 people on Maine and I can't keep up with 500 people. That's too many people. And I don't really want to unfollow people. Because I'd have to like go and do the mental judgment of like, is this person worth following? Do I want to, if they're mutual and, but I don't necessarily like read all their tweets or like know what they're about anymore. Cause the last time we talked was 7 years ago. Do I want to do like spend the social capital of like breaking the mutual? No, probably not. I don't want to make their life worse if they noticed. Cause that always, whenever it's like someone's a longtime mutual and find out they don't follow me, like even if we haven't talked in years, I'm like, oh, that stings. It's hard to get, brains are bad. Brains fucking suck. There's people I used to be very friendly with that eventually the mutual got broken and the relationship did not sustain, where I still am like a little sore about it, more than a little sore sometimes. And not for any reason, just like that happens, you know, it's nobody's fault, but man, you just hold on to some things sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I'm not doing any of that, but I am just trying to like negotiate my own doing this stuff. And so far it's been totally fine, but who knows how long it'll last, right?
Yeah. It's made me want to use Maine a little bit more, but there's also this part of just like, like the reason why I really stopped using Maine regularly is that I had like a harasser stalker who like brought things to my house, including like printouts of a tweet. And
yeah,
things.
It's really fucked up.
and so it's just like me being like, oh, I should use Maine more. I feel like there's just this thing of like, I can't be like open in that same way on Maine still. Mm-hmm. So me, I'm just like, I just, sometimes I'll just do a shit post on, my locked that I'm like, nah, that was like vaguely funny. I was just like, I should just do more of those stupid shit posts on Maine. That's like really where I'm at. I should tweet a little bit more, freely with just dumb jokes.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing we talked about on that VoIP life, is I don't really post like that much. Yeah. I mean, sometimes I do, but it's not really in, like, the flavor of my posts. I'm way more about, like, here's what I think about a thing. And not, like, discourse of the day, just like, oh, I'm reading this book and this thing came to mind, let's talk about that. Or, oh, here's a YouTube video I watched over lunch. It's really good. You should watch it. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
What else do I got? I got into Mint Phantom. This started last week, but I wasn't sure it was going to stick. I think it's going to stick. So here we are.
Yeah.
VTuber time. people love the VTuber section. I don't know. Some people do. Yeah. No one's complained about it, but multiple people have been like, I really appreciate having some people talk intelligently about VTubers. And look, I've seen the VTuber news channels. I understand there's a dearth of good VTuber comment, just taking it seriously and not being an idiot about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mint is an independent VTuber, was kind of medium. Indie YouTubers or VTubers meant something different, like in 2001 when Mint was active. Graduated because I'm going to talk a little bit. If you're like really about kayfabe, I'm sorry, but I don't really care in that way. And this is all like very public at this point. But graduated to go be Pomu Rainpuff of Niji Sanji Ian, who everybody loves. Was very popular. Left Niji Sanji. I'm not really going to talk about the Niji Sanji stuff because nobody knows for sure, and it's a nightmare to talk about at this point. But left. Seemingly just kind of not sure if she wanted to continue VTubing. She like went to Japan to like do like a language immersion course for like a couple months. Just kind of quiet. She's like, maybe I'll get a job at a bookstore or like, you know, a grocery store, just something quiet, where I'm not online all the time, and has been pulled into coming back, because of her friend Matara Khan, who's a V-Shoujo VTuber who used to be in Niji Sanji as Nina Kosaka, the Milfy Fox. My favorite Niji Sanji VTuber.
There was a running joke for a while that neither of us had appeared in the same room at the same time.
Yes. And she's great, but then she left and immediately joined V-Shoujo. V-Shoujo streams on Twitch and not YouTube. And my I use like My workplace is like really locked down, like IT wise, so it doesn't have Wi-Fi. So I have to use cell data at work, and it's not great connection. And for some reason, Twitch just doesn't load at work, and that's where I watch a lot of my VTuber shit. So her going to Twitch meant I've not seen fucking anything of her other than like a few random clips ever since she left for V-Shoujo. It's a real bummer. When people go to Twitch, it's death to me. They might as well not exist. It sucks. She's a cool roach lady now instead of a fox lady, and she got Mint to come back, and they're doing a podcast that's on YouTube over the summer as Mint stays with her. I think staying with her, they're at least hanging out at some point. But also just like maybe Mint's coming back to VTubing. Maybe Mint's just doing this short run thing. Who knows? She doesn't know. She's very clear. She's like, I don't really know what I'm going to do next, but I'm going to do this for a little while and we'll see what happens. And I deeply respect that. But she's great. And I've gotten more into, I've watched more Mint than I ever watched with Pomu, who was like some of my friends, like, especially in the Discord, Pomu is very popular. My friend Kobats was a huge Mint fan and was a huge Pomu's biggest, shooter. Been having a great 2 weeks as Mint's come back. Kobats has.
Yeah.
And it's just been nice to have some VTubers who have kind of been like through it, and they have their podcast, like one of their episodes just about like, what does it mean to should be a VTuber? And their episode two is all about VTubing, and it was just very concrete, like generous advice about like making things online is hard, and you just should do it if you want to do it, and don't do it to be successful because success is all fucking luck. You have no control over that. Which yeah. Anyone who tells you anything else is lying to you. Don't listen to them.
Yeah.
And it was good. I don't know. It's just nice to have another VTuber that I'm into. I'm like, I'm too early to call like, oh, Oshi number three or whatever. Also, Oshi three is obviously Aradia.
Yeah. We've been over this.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've specifically said that on the podcast, but I don't think anybody will be surprised by that.
So. Yeah, no, Aradia is great. you know, it's been nice. She played 4 hours of the Metal Gear Solid patches slot, and I watched all of it.
Yeah.
She's playing Twin Snakes for the first time this week. I'm really excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the weird things of the way I've been online in my life is Jackson's infamous as the Metal Gear person. I'm like, who do you fuck think you got them into Metal Gear? I just don't post about it. I told them to play Metal Gear 8 years ago. I was like, oh, you really need to get into Metal Gear. It's very important to me. And they did. And they're just louder about it than I am.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, if I like something too much, I just never talk about it. Because, like, the last thing I want to do is hear other people's opinions about a thing that I already like too much. Also, Metal Gear burned me really bad. I hate Metal Gear Solid 4, and I didn't even play 5. I eventually watched Chip and Aronica's play the post-4 games, and I enjoyed watching them do it, but I don't want to play those fucking games. But Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3, some of the greatest games ever made, period.
Yeah, they're good.
So it's just been, I don't know. It's nice watching VTubers be excited for things reminds me of my own capacity. It makes me feel weird sometimes. I'm like, I don't feel this excited. I don't love anything ever in my life. I've never loved anything as much as Mint likes Metal Gear. It's not possible for me. I don't think I have the capacity for that kind of love in me. And then I'm like, is that a problem? I don't think so. But sometimes you do feel a little like a cynical jerk when you're like, I don't know how to turn off the thing that I do with a thing, which is pick it apart and critique it from a bunch of angles. And even though I love Metal Gear, I would never be like full-throated in my defense of it. It's got tons of fucking problems. And I feel that way about all the things I love. And I it always makes me feel a little weird, but I do take energy from someone else's pure love of a thing that I love with compromises, I guess I would say. As long as they're not doing it wrong.
Yeah. Not a truly the one thing that I can just love that way.
Yeah, I don't lie. Yeah, I don't like have anything like that.
But, yeah. It's been interesting lately, just on the topic of VTubers, because, so I, like, Autumn had been playing a bunch of Vampire Survivors, and I was like, you should just play Hollow Gear. And then they did, and they're like, oh, this is, like, a better game. Like,
yes.
And also, there's just, like, way more stuff to do in it. Yeah. And also, it's not on their phone, so they have to, like, go get the Steam Deck to play it.
Yeah.
You know, which is a nice thing for... They were just, like, compulsively playing.
Yes.
Vampire Survivors.
Yes.
But anyway... the real thing is that it's gotten them into VTubers again. But I'm just watching them like scattershot watch like streams from, you know, 5 different VTubers. And it just made me realize that like I truly just went into the advent like debut streams being like, I'm just going to pick my Oshi. And then I did it.
Yeah. It was yes, you were extremely single minded. It's really weird to me. Cause that's not how it necessarily went for me at all. Like I watched all, I like, you know, I had, cause like VTuber, like it was 2020, like I was work from home, which is how that's how they got a lot of people, right? Everyone's work from home.
Yeah.
And Karoni was blowing up and Pikami, cause she spoke English most of the time, was getting really big. And those are the two I was like watching. And then, Halloween all debuted and I watched all of the debuts and it was really funny cause I was like all in on Callie. Chip's in on Callie. I think she's the best one. And I thought Kiara fucking was boring. Didn't like Kiara like during debut at all. I'm still fonder of Callie than literally everyone I know. I know that she's cringe, and people have a lot of justified complaints about a white girl rapper in Japan. However, some of the ways in which she's cringe, I relate to, and I think that she's mellowed a lot. I think she's very honest about her faults as a person sometimes. And I've always been fond of her, but like, you know, I really fell for Kiara. I know Autumn really likes Ina. Ina is just never, like, I don't want to watch someone draw. Like, nothing Ina's interested in interests me is the thing. Like, I like Ina's vibes a lot, but like, I'm not into any of the things she's into. That's really the hard thing, right? You need to find someone who aligns. And this is the thing with Kiara is like, I really like Kiara's, it's like clips. I think her music's pretty good. Her opinions on fucking everything are garbage. Every movie and TV show that she's ever talked about, I'm like, what planet do you live on where these are your takes on things? And it's fine. It's fine. There's like a charm to it. As someone who's like kind of judgy, right, as a person, because we talked about this, I don't know how to turn off the machine. It's really rare where I see a VTuber, I'm like, oh, this person's got like takes that I respect about things. You just kind of got to put that aside when you're talking about a thing. That's one of the reasons I like Fauna. I think Fauna has genuinely, but I think everyone's genuine. I think she has generally pretty good taste on things. I'm interested in what she has to talk about. And also, I liked Fauna's vibe a lot. I watch a lot of ASMR, and I don't really like Fauna's style of ASMR that much, but it's nice to have an Ian person who's doing ASMR at all. The vibes are good, and I think the vibes have gotten way better as she's, like, gotten more confidence. I think Fauna's fucking fantastic. I go all over, and like I said, I'm limited a lot by I don't watch Twitch, and that's where a lot of indie VTubers live, because YouTube's just a harder place to get a foothold unless you have backing. I tend to mostly watch clips also, which is a problem. And I don't know Japanese, which is like, there's like Japanese VTubers I would love to know what the fuck they're doing and are about. But they don't really get that many clips. And when the clips come out, they're not that interesting. I think Luna is like the coolest. I'm a huge Marine fan. Everyone's like, a huge Marine fan. That's not really surprising. I think Louie's really cool when she did like over the summer last year. And I think the year before she did the Konami like baseball power pro streams, and I just watched those, you know, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. They were just very chill to me, and they happened like right when I was going to bed. But I don't know Japanese, and I don't like, I used to try to learn, but like work got really busy, and I used to do it at work because I don't have time at home, and now I don't have time at work either, so I fell off all my Japanese studies. So just a bummer. Just like, it's hard to get into something when you have like 17 hobbies.
Yeah,
but you straight shot to Nerissa, and that's always been it. I don't even know.
Yeah,
like I joke about, like, I really like Mokoko, but, like, I don't have, like, I won't say I have, like, a Oshi in Advent. I actually like most of Advent, I think the person who brings me the most joy overall is Bibu, because her clips are fucking fantastic, and her vibe is, like, I love all of her nonsense. I think she's great.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've watched a single Bibu stream since debut. I just don't watch them, right? Like, it's just a weird way, because like I don't sit down and do something like for 2 hours where I can put on a stream very often. So my ingestion of VTubers is always really different than like a lot of the fandom. That's why I'm not like in communities or anything. It's just hard. I don't know. I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah. I truly just like, I'm able to just put streams on while I'm working from home, and that's really... Yeah.
And since I'm at work, like, I can do that, and I have, like, unlimited cell data, right? And I burn through my, like, soft cap, because it's like, oh, when you use 50 gigabytes of cell data a month, we're going to put you on the slow tier. And I blow through it fucking every month. I don't really notice the degradation, and it's usually, like, with only 2 days left till it rolls over. But I watch a lot of YouTube out at work at, like, 360p, because I can't, if it goes any higher, I'll get weird buffering, because I'm on cell data and only have 2 bars. That's my life at work. I really wish I had fucking Wi-Fi at work, but I do not.
Yeah. And I usually don't watch streams when I'm in office, but I'm in office 2 days a week. And those are like, those 2 days let me do most of the podcasts that come out.
Oh, yeah.
You know? That and like listening to podcasts while I do dishes or whatever. So.
I'm in every week. But I'll try to catch like Amiya's streams, because she streams about 2 p.m. every day. But I don't catch all of them. I catch maybe like one or two a week. She's like the only person I'll show up for a lot of the live stuff with. Cause you know, she's really small. She only has like 20,000 subscribers. She needs the help.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just like thinking about it. So just like I think I've watched like one like actual most of a stream, if not all of the stream from like Kiara. I've never like stopped in on anyone else's stream ever.
Yeah, it's so wild to me because I graze all over the place.
Yeah,
and there's people I don't necessarily watch like ever, but and like I said, I watch streams, but like I watch clips from anybody as long as they look like they might be interesting. And most of the time they're not, but you never know.
I occasionally will watch clips, but I feel like clippers don't understand what's good about VTubers. I've become like, and I think this is just extra true with Nerissa, where all the clippers are just fucking horny about her constantly.
Yes.
But it's also just maybe be like, I just don't trust clips most of the time.
The VTubers I'm watching clips of are usually like, here's a funny thing that happened in a game where I'm not going to watch them play this game for 4 hours. There was a great clip of Kiara was doing Euro Truck Sim and Beethoven's Fifth came on. Everyone made her play Beethoven's Fifth because that's the thing Fauna did when she crashed and was losing her mind laughing as Beethoven's Fifth swelled as her truck was canted over on its side in like an L shape. But Kiara didn't know why Fauna... Like, she didn't know. Like, she hadn't watched the stream. She's like, oh, did Fauna, like, sing along to this song? And she just starts fucking singing the along to it in German, like, perfect German. And she's, like, rocketing down the road. And it's wonderful. It's, like, the most Kiara shit in the world to me. It's very funny because she's really self-conscious about singing in German. But apparently that one, just she's just ready to go, belt it out. Crushing it.
I do enjoy... sometimes watching Kiara stuff, especially when there's going to be German, because occasionally I can make out the German even without like subtitles, you know, to explain it. So
but
it
like
really varies. My German's not that great, but there's also just a certain amount of I heard it from like my grandparents growing up, where some of it just connects in a way where I'm like, I couldn't tell you what fucking word they said. I just understood it, you know.
Yeah. But like I said, I like Bibu. I like her clips a lot. I think she's really funny, but like, she does like 8 hour streams a day. Like, I don't care what you're doing. I don't want to watch you for 8 hours. I don't watch anybody for 8 hours. I don't have that kind of time in my life.
I briefly thought about cause there was like the Armored Core when everyone was playing fucking Armored Core, and I was going to, but I was just like, I'm not going to make it through at the speed that other people are going to.
Yeah.
And I briefly thought about it. And then I saw that like all of her Armored Core episodes were like 8 hours. And I was like, no, I can't do this.
Yeah. She doesn't sleep. She hangs out with Kayla and Kayla literally doesn't sleep, like for real. And just streams like 12, 14 hours a day every day. And they're just like thick as thieves. And I love all the clips of them being cute together, but like, I can't watch those streams. I would go crazy.
Yeah. That is one thing where me just picking Nerissa and sticking with her as my Oshi has paid off, which is that she very rarely streams for more than 2 hours.
Yes.
And I appreciate that. I like,
and she's not like a gamer in this way, right?
Yeah. She will sometimes play like whatever the game of the day is, basically. And then she'll just play like weird horror games that are just, you know, low budget that I would never play. But sometimes it's just like, oh, this is like fine to have it on in the background where I'm not really paying attention to it because I don't care about it that much. Yeah. But then I still just see a little bit of like, oh, that was like a weird, you know, RPG Maker horror game or like weird Unity horror game.
Yeah. It's really funny because you talk about like, oh, she does that. I'm like, yeah, these are the games of the moment that go around the circle and everyone plays them all at the same time. And you're like, well, I'm really sick of seeing this thing go around. Yeah. That Station one that everyone's playing right now, like that game creator, whenever they put out one, everybody plays it.
The Chilla games or whatever.
Yeah.
It was funny. I was actually watching that, like the one on the train or whatever, this morning. And she like beat it in like 40 minutes or something, and everyone was like speedrunning this game, and she's like, what? No, like
I just played it normal. What are you supposed to do?
And they're like, you didn't scream once. And she's like, there's one person who commented, and she was like, you have the like 6 month badge, you should know that I don't scream at war games. Why are you asking me why I was not screaming? Like
Yeah, it's just weird because, like, I think about VTubers a lot. like, it's a huge part of, like, my brain space, as, like, when I'm just, like, daydreaming, when I just have time to kill. That's usually what I'm thinking about, you know, on some level. But I still feel like a fake fan, because I'm, like, I'm not in it, right? Like, I have, like, my Oshis, and I feel like I watch a lot, but, like, I don't watch full streams. I'm not up on anybody's work all the time. And it's, like, my sixth, like, you know, if I had to list my hobbies, one, I work a full-time job. Two, I do this podcast work, which is about 20 to 30 hours a week, depending on the week. Then I'm a person who has to, like, keep a house clean and, like, shower and sleep. Then I like reading, then I keep up on my friends' podcasts. That's probably actually the most important thing I do, is try to keep up on all my friends' podcasts. I don't always succeed, but I'm doing my best. Then I like to watch movies. I read over lunch at work, and sometimes I read after, like, at nighttime. Since Arthur's so big, I don't take the book with me to work. I read that at night on my, like, over the weekend. I like to game a lot, and when I game, I don't put anything else on. I'm just kind of playing a video game for the most part. And I'm like, where the fuck am I supposed to find the time? Also, I like other YouTube. I watch a bunch of science YouTube and cooking YouTube and ASMR videos and weird other goofy shit. You know, I watch a lot of YouTube. This isn't just VTubers.
Oh, yeah. I only watch VTuber YouTube.
Yeah. I checked the other day. I think last week, maybe it was on another podcast, I mentioned I have 300. I'm subscribed to 300 channels. It's 550 something channels I'm subscribed to. And a lot of them are dead. But, like, I go through a lot of YouTube. I love, like, old tech YouTube, you know, a lot of those are, like, longer videos, and, like, I'll put it on a 2x speed, but, like, if I'm watching it, that's also why I watch a lot of VOD content. Like, I get to watch it 2x speed. I'm not watching someone play a video game at 1x speed. Are you out of your mind? I don't have that kind of, I'm going to die someday.
Yeah. I watch a lot of streams at, like, 1.5 x speed, but,
this is true of me forever. I never even really went through a phase where, like, the TV's on and I'm doing something in the same room. I've just never been that person. I'm doing something or I'm not doing something. And I don't like just have VTubers on while I'm, like, if the VTubers are on, I'm probably not, like, doing a book or anything, because I can't focus on both in the way I want. One will just, like, disappear in my mind. I'll only be able to focus on one at a time. Yeah. So I might as well not even on, waste the time, right? So I don't.
I will sometimes put on, if I'm building Gunpla, but I haven't done that in a while. I need to get back to the fucking Perfect Grid Unleashed. I'm still... Yeah,
Gunpla is different, but I also haven't built Gunpla in, like, a year. When I'm at work, I'll put something on, right? Because it's work, and work's pretty mindless. But, like, when it's my time, I like to focus on the things I'm invested in my time. And when I'm, like, doing laundry or something, it doesn't take that long where I can, like... Yes, when Mint was playing Metal Gear Patch Slot, I, like, folded a bunch of laundry, and I cleaned the bathroom, and I did a bunch of other things, but, like, that's not every day. I can't do that every day.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel like a weird, like, you know, it's like people come to us to talk about VTubers. I'm like, I don't feel like I'm that in, because I do it so haphazardly, and I'm like a fake fan a little bit.
Yeah.
I know that's not true, but I do feel that way sometimes. When I know people, like, who are just in it. They're all, like, that's the main thing. I'm like, I can't be me. I'm not that way about anything. I have too many things.
Yeah. And I just have the one Kamiyoshi, and it's literally the only VTuber I watch.
Yeah.
I can talk about how she was talking some shit about George R. R. Martin, saying that Tolkien was wrong for bringing Gandalf back. And then immediately, I was like, all right, yeah, talking some shit about George R. R. Martin, this is fine. And then immediately went into talking shit about how Goku's not as good as Rock Lee. And I'm like, why are you like this?
That's the most wrong thing anybody's ever said.
I'm not even invested in this, and I know that this is a terrible take. What are you talking about?
I like Rock Lee, don't get me wrong, but let's fuck off.
It's fucking Goku.
Yeah. There's literally, like, 20 characters in Dragon Ball that I'd put above Rock Lee any day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
sometimes
all I
she
can
has,
really
sometimes
bring.
She, yeah, sometimes she has very, she's a few years younger than us, me especially, and it just, like, I'm like, I feel the gulf of the generation gap is real with that one.
Yeah.
She doesn't, I was listening to her karaoke and people were just throwing songs left to right at her, and she, like, didn't fucking know any of them. I'm like, you're a musician. What? She didn't know who Tony Bennett was. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You sing. Like, that's your main thing. Like, her real life persona is like, oh, I'm a singer. I'm like, what? You don't have to, like, be a fan, but you have to know he's a singer who exists in the world. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
She sang Hallelujah and then was like, oh, I've never sang this version. All I know is the one from Shrek. I was like, oh my God, I can't fucking handle this.
Yeah. Truly the reveal of like all of her good taste she just got from Aradia was so funny.
You know what? Checks out. Fucking checks
yeah.
out.
Yeah. I mean, I say all of her good music taste, but that also includes the Smiths, which I don't know if I would fully include in that. But.
I do not include the Smiths with any of that. She said Morrissey's name and it wasn't immediately followed by I hope he fucking dies. So that's the wrong opinion to have about Morrissey.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, not knowing Creep by Radiohead was especially oh my God. Because for me,
she's like, I know Karma Police. That's the only one I know. I was like, what? How did this happen?
It was so funny too because like. And I just know that I'm older, but I always think of Creep as like, that was like an AMV song. Like,
yeah,
you know, fucking AMVs. You've talked about AMVs. How do you not know Creep?
You were an adult when The Social Network came out. You even know The Social Network.
Yeah. I'm positive she has not watched The Social Network.
No, I know, but
yeah.
She drives me crazy. It's like the Kiara thing, but like she sometimes says really smart things, so I'm just always off-footed. Kiara, I know her takes are gonna be bad. It's fine. Like I said, it's a charm point. Narissa, I just never know if I can trust her or not.
Yeah. And it also means like right now she's reading through all of the Lord of the Rings books for the first time, and then she's gonna read The Hobbit, and it's just like I'm on like, you know, I'm just like tense, like especially when she gets The Hobbit, because I know she likes The Hobbit movies but never read The Hobbit. I'm just like, what's gonna happen? I don't understand. Like, the take is going to come, and I don't know which way it's gonna go, because you'll go either way. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would accept someone being like, oh, I like The Hobbit movies, and then reading The Hobbit and be like, oh, wow. I have not watched The Hobbit movies, but they seem bad. They truly seem bad. Everything I've seen of them seems bad.
I watched all three of them in high frame rate. They're fucking terrible.
I'm still befuddled by the fact that everybody went and saw The Hobbit in theaters, and they're like, this high frame rate sucks, and then their TV started forcing on stuff that it didn't exist on, and they're like, this looks good, actually. I don't understand how that happened.
I mean, I did not. Look,
yeah.
Here's the thing, is I want to believe in high frame rate media. I would have liked more experiments with the form. I don't think it needs to replace like what we've got, but I do think it's interesting. That was not the showcase for it, because The Hobbit was bad movies no matter how fast they're showing you the frames. Much like 3D, the thing that was interesting was like I wanted to see documentaries in high frame rate. I didn't really. Like, I saw Gemini Man. I think that's the only other high frame rate movie I've seen. And that was much better than The Hobbit. But like 3D, my favorite 3D movies was like Pina 3D, which is like a dance documentary, and Cave of Forgotten Dreams, the Herzog cave paintings documentary. They use three dimensions to show physicality in a way that you can't in just normal, like when you're showing a real thing, that a movie screen does not get across necessarily. I thought they were fucking profound and good. But 3D is dead too. You can't get fucking TV 3D in if you wanted to.
Yeah. It is truly wild how many people, though, just have, like, the motion smoothing that's, like, faking 60 FPS.
Yes.
With, like, while they're watching a movie that was shot in 30 or, you know, 28, whatever.
I don't really actually know people in my life. Like, I don't go places and I don't have family, so I don't really see this. I know it's true because I've seen enough people talk about it, but, like, I don't experience this in my life, thank God.
Yeah. It's truly atrocious every time I see somebody's got it on, you know, I'll go to somebody's like a relative's house or something, and then they'll be watching TV and it's on, and I'm just like, oh my God, this like, this just looks awful to me. How do you not see this? How do you not see what's happening? It's wild. Anyway.
I think that's a podcast.
Yeah. I feel like I was kind of boring this week, but I'll try to be more exciting next week.
Well, thank you for just indulging me as I ramble about nothing for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But I had to stop you from talking about your day job. I simply had to. I was jumping on the grenade on that one.
I wasn't even going to talk that. I was just saying I'm fucking grumpy about the shit they're doing at my day job.
I know.
And it's just like me being grumpy about that has taken away time from doing other things.
I understand. So. I do get it because my day job is also kicking my ass right now. But I also firmly believe as a person, it has nothing to do with you. It's more me that like I don't want to be a person who thinks about if I think about my day job when I'm not at work, that's my life. They're stealing from me. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Well, we made it.
We made it. We'll be back next week, like I said, with those chapters, plugs.
You can find me at FoxBombNia, where maybe I'm shitposting when this comes out. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm definitely for sure tweeting about all of my podcasts, so you should go there, retweet all of them, especially when I quote tweet them, being like, retweet my fucking podcast, you fucking heathens. And then go listen to all of my podcasts. Listen to Ghost Divers, where we're talking about Nana. I'm rapidly approaching, like, I have two more volumes to read. We're recording this Friday for 19. Mm. So, rapidly approaching being done with this project. Go listen to Pondering Putama with Hachishiro Taro and Hachimitsu Boy, where we took an unexpected week off. We'll probably make it up somehow. But, yeah. And then also listen to Ornate Stairwells, where we're going to be talking about Showgirls. I guess after this comes out, that episode will come out.
Yeah. But, I know Autumn also watched Last Temptation of Christ, so that's going to be fucking great.
And Jesus Christ Superstar, and we watched Ikiru, and movies that I talked about on here, like Godland. Other stuff. Twilight, I'll probably briefly talk about, but especially Twilight, I think I'll just direct here where I talked about being horny about vampires. People can just listen to it here.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @EM_Bing, where I do tweet more often than I used to. You can find most of my podcasts at abnormalmapping.com. Listen to Rupture Screenings because I'm clearly have a complex about it. So you should make me feel better by listening to that at RupturesScreenings.com. It comes out every 2 weeks usually. It's usually about classic cinema. We watch Rome Open City, an incredible fucking movie.
Fucking banger. I liked a lot.
Yeah. You can check me out on Dragon Readers, which is on the Export Audio Network, every 2 weeks. Me and Nora are reading the Inheritance Trilogy, also called the Aragon Books. We are currently halfway through Brisinger, the third book. I'm having a really good time. That's a pretty good podcast. It's usually very short, so it's very digestible. We don't really talk about anything other than the book. I am also on Dia's Let's Play channel at youtube.com/@DiaLucina playing My Summer Vacation 2.
Meeting which Ghosts. Is
a, yeah, fucking charming, incredible PS2 game. We met a ghost girl. If it turns out she's not a ghost, I'm going to laugh forever because I'm really selling that it's a ghost. But, you know, who can say? Probably a ghost, though. you know, Gundam. Gundam's off next week. So if you're listening to this, the week comes out, there's no Gundam this week. We're taking the week off. I have to watch a bunch of SD shit I don't want to watch. So that's what I'm probably doing at this moment. Actually, I'm at work when this goes live because I'm always at work when this goes live. But I will be watching some SD shit this week and being like, oh, this isn't that interesting. I want to get to the Three Kingdoms SD shit. But so it goes. And Blockbusters was out. That's my $5 podcast, patreon.com/normalmapping. I got to watch Kingdom of Heaven this weekend because we're recording that on Sunday. And that'll be out already as the time you're listening to this podcast because that should go up on Monday. So listen to us talk about Kingdom of Heaven. I hope it's good because I have to spend 3 hours doing it either way.
And then it will be Battle Royale 2.
It will not immediately be Battle Royale 2 because we have to schedule you on a weekend, which means it's got to be the next time that your wife and kid go out of town.
Well, that'll happen this summer.
Well, okay.
Yeah. There's like two more. Well, we'll see because I don't know how much it'll be the weekend, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Because your availability and Jackson's availability are basically not overlapping at all. As people. So
yeah. Jackson and I had a podcast idea, and that is one of the main things that's keeping me from like bringing it up again. Is just being like, oh god, trying to fucking figure out scheduling.
Yes.
Fuck.
Come back in a couple years and your kid does not need minding constantly, basically.
Also probably like when Pujon's over, it'll be easier.
Oh yeah.
I have too many fucking podcasts right now.
Yeah, I'm also totally, like, literally, you want me on for some stairwells, and I'm like, not until I'm done with Dragon Readers. I can't do anything else. Nothing. Absolutely yeah. not.
We gotta do Basic Instinct, though.
Watching Showgirls, Dragon Readers is over.
Man, fucking Basic Instinct.
I know. We will do it when Dragon Readers is over.
Yeah.
It's fine. Anyway, we're definitely done plugging. We need to get out of here because I'm fucking falling asleep. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. Please share the podcast. Post in the Discord. Tell us that it was good. Getting a lot of that lately. Sound off on Vampires vs. Werewolves. Werewolves are losing in our audience. Thank God. You all have taste. Sorry, werewolf lovers, but you're wrong on this one. And until next week, we are out of the podcast.
And then we are out of the podcast.